And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Well, may the Lord bless his word. And may we underline it as we sing one more carol before we turn to God's word. 764. I've been away a few days this week. I've been up north by coach and seen how many people were stuck on the M6 in the traffic. When I was going northward, it was fine. We were zooming past them, waving. But coming back on Friday, we were back in all the queues. A lot of journeys are made, aren't they, at Christmas time? I think somebody told me it was 1978. I find this very hard to believe. There was a song by Chris Rea, "Driving Home for Christmas." Surely that can't have been 1978. That seems a long time ago. And it was a hit because people identified with it, because that's what we do. When we can, at least, we drive around and we see friends and family. "Let's go to Bethlehem," said the shepherds. "Let's go on a journey. We want to go." I mean, they're in the fields nearby. It was a short journey, but they want to go. I'm not quite sure it could have been said of Mary and Joseph when they found out about the census and had to go on the long journey for them to Bethlehem, whether they were as keen. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad to be back from up north. Well, it's nice to see family faces. It's a long way, and there's a lot of people out there in between getting in the way. It wasn't a short time of journey at all. But the shepherds, they are our focus this morning. Let's go to Bethlehem. Now, let me state something very, very simple, very, very straightforward this morning. Shepherds care for their sheep. We're going to start there, okay? That's what the job is all about. "And there were shepherds" is how the reading begins. Now, Israel is a pastoral country. It doesn't have the green fields, apart from where they've worked the land to make it green. It's more desert and rugged. But there are a lot of people keeping flocks of sheep, moving them the sheep from place to place. And it says in our reading that they were keeping watch over their flocks at night. So they're on the night shift. Okay? Have you ever worked a night shift? That's not an easy shift to work. Generally, there's not much happening. But they had to keep alert. Of course, enemies were around. Sheep rustlers, or perhaps more prowling animals around to steal the sheep. So they were, they set themselves down. They were ready. They'd gathered the sheep in, no doubt into some sort of fold, to keep guard against any predators.
Now, the thing about shepherding is there's not particularly a school, of university school for shepherding, but it is a life-absorbing job. You cannot just wander off and leave them there. It's a social job because there's others and there's time to talk around the fire, but there's little freedom. You know, the hours are long, the pay is low, and so on. And they constantly need to be with their sheep. Now, I'm painting a big painting strokes just to set that behind what we're looking at, just in case we'd forgotten. A shepherd is a provider and a protector. Psalm 23 will tell you how the Lord is our shepherd. And it talks of his provision and his protection, the way he looks after us. And we know that the shepherd in those days was often the gate to the fold, so that no enemy could get in and attack the sheep. Literally laying down their lives for their sheep. And you remember Jesus speaks as the good shepherd in John 10 and uses that exact phrase about himself, laying down his life for his sheep, not just for a cold night in a doorway, but upon a cross for all eternity, for you and for me. What a picture that paints of the Lord, the good shepherd, and what he does for each one in his flock. But as a result, when you think of the life of a shepherd, they were isolated from their community. They were not able to carry out certain roles by law concerning the temple and judicial matters. They didn't count. They were nothing. To be a shepherd, well, in some ways it was an important job for the person's sheep they were looking after, but for everybody else, they were nothing. However, these shepherds were to become witnesses of the one who would be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. What a role reversal, what a turnaround it was, these shepherds who cared for their sheep. Shepherds care for their sheep, but these shepherds were confronted not by wolves, not by other beasts, but with the angels. A confrontation with the angels. Now again, if you've been coming here over the weeks and months and years, you know that there are other angelic appearances in the Bible. It's not just one on this night. And you might remember, for example, there was a man called Manoah. He was the father of Samson, the man with the strength. And when an angel of the Lord appeared to him, he cried out, "We're doomed to die." That kind of gives you the picture of what this encounter and confrontation would have felt like for even the burliest of shepherds. For Manoah says, "We're doomed to die." Zechariah, the priest, father of John the Baptist, has had an encounter with an angel of the Lord in the temple, and it says of him he was gripped with fear. So that's the sort of picture we're presenting here. The shepherds were terrified. There's not really a strong enough word to pin this upon them. Now bear in mind that they were good at fighting off wild animals to save the sheep. Just remember what this encounter must have been like. No wonder the angels always introduce themselves with the "do not fear" introduction. Do not be afraid. Zechariah, as I said, was a priest. Manoah was a man who was seeking God's will for his life. But these were just ordinary common shepherds. I don't know how devout they were, probably not. They were the common working class folk of the day. But around them shone the glory of God. And again, that's a term not just found in this chapter, but in the rest of the Old and New Testament. Moses had asked to see the glory of the Lord. Moses! You know, Moses, this most important person in the history of the people. And now these humble shepherds were seeing something of this. In the days of Ezekiel, the glory, having departed, returns to the temple. And it's described there in Ezekiel 43. But these shepherds, they're just on scrubland in Bethlehem, not in a temple. It just seems so amazing. And even when the glory of the Lord appeared to Abraham, right at the start, and it's recorded in Acts chapter 7 and verse 2, you know, it was for a purpose, it was for a great path that was being set through Abraham onwards. It was a big, big, big day. And the glory of the Lord shone around these humble men. The shepherds were on an emotional roller coaster. When you look at this passage, you can see that. First of all, as I say, they were terrified. But they were going to go on and experience great joy. An overwhelming joy. I don't know about you, but I mean, I've known times, a little bit of times of fear, and I've known times of joy, but I've never really known them, particularly, I don't think, together. You know, you need to come down from a fearful experience and you need to sort of come down from a joyful experience. But these were smashed together on this roller coaster. I will bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. All the people. I did read it that way on purpose. Because I don't know about you, but good news is usually for some people, isn't it? And not for all people. For example, the Chancellor cuts the tax rate for a certain group of people. And everybody in that group goes, yay! But unfortunately, if you're not in that group, you go, oh, it's got to come from somewhere else. Taking from one to give to another. Good news, you know, it's very rarely for everybody. One team wins, Australia. One team loses, England. You know, everybody winning? Everybody? Good news for everybody? Is that possible? And then ultimately these shepherds, having known and heard of this great joy, would know peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. God had favoured them. Shepherds. Glory to God, well, that's everywhere in Scripture. God is to receive the glory that is due his name. But peace to men, well, this is something new. Because if you remember the times in which this is happening, God's people are under Roman occupation, they're longing for freedom. But actually, the bigger problem is they have no peace with God because of sin. But they would know peace with God and peace from God because of Jesus. So the roller coaster goes with great joy and then peace. Is that the end of the ride? Well, then they would experience amazement. And why would that be? Because they would tell people about what they'd seen and everybody would actually, you know, go along with them. They were witnesses of what they'd seen. The sight, the sounds. They weren't dreaming. It was real. A choir of angels confirmed the delivery of the message of the good news. A Saviour has been born. And they were given the task of finding him and making known who and what his life would mean and achieve. And that leads us on to the shepherd's careful search. There they are caring for their sheep. There they are confronted by angels. And then they make a careful search. Now you remember in John 10, when Jesus talks about the sheep and the shepherd, the relationship between both, how the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And it works the other way. The shepherd knows his sheep. Now to the layman, all sheep look alike, don't they? If I ask you to draw a sheep, most of us would draw a fluffy cloud with four legs and a little head. But sheep, to the shepherd, have personality. They spend all the time with them.
the intricacies of their character. Perhaps that's why the Lord chose these men to search out our Saviour, because of their attention to detail. They were looking for a baby in Bethlehem, a baby wrapped in cloths, I know you know this, and lying in a manger. Three clues to find the Christ child. Many babies in Bethlehem. I don't know how big Bethlehem was, but it was big enough that there would be more than one baby born on that night. Wrapped in cloths, well, it's a sign of poverty, but they wouldn't have been the only poor parents in town. But only one was laid in a manger, an animal feeding trough. That was the key sign for the shepherds. They knew all about feeding troughs and filling them. And here was an extra special sign to them. And just stop for a minute and think about Christmas and think about how people celebrate their Christmases. For many, it is about family. And I'm not opposed to that. I think it's good to spend time with family. It's a bit like you will find a baby. Baby, you know. It's the end of the year, and babies are a kind of symbol, aren't they, of hope and a future. And so I understand why people want to get together at Christmas into the new year and just, you know, good riddance to what's gone and let's look forward to something better. That's family, a family Christmas. Maybe you're having one of those this year. We do that. Wrapped in cloths. Well, are you going to go to town? Are you wrapping up everything? Making everything, you know, shiny, sparkly. You know, we do that. It's family, but it's also obviously a very materialistic thing, isn't it? What are you going to get? What are you going to give? The wrappings of Christmas lie all around as well. But only one baby was laid in a manger, in an animal's feeding trough. A real Christmas is the one where Jesus is at the centre and at the heart of what we do. So yes, have the family. Yes, have your trimmings. Do your trimmings. We do trimmings. But how sad if we just did these trimmings and family without the baby in the manger, at the heart, the centre of our Christmas services, events, our home life, our hearts, our everything at Christmas, him at the centre. The shepherds made that careful search, and I encourage you to make that careful search. Don't be casual. Don't just, get the family. Tick, done the family. Done the presents, done the wrappings. Tick, that's it. No. The baby in the manger, beyond the wrapping, beyond just being a baby. The Saviour of the world, born for you, to rescue you eternally. That's what this gift is. Take it. Receive it afresh this Christmas. Make that careful search of the scriptures yourself. Take it to heart. Make it the centre, not on the periphery, on the edges. And the shepherds, having made the careful search, when they did find the baby, they then considered the sight and spread the word. Have you got a famous friend? Do you know somebody who, by the world standards, is kind of more famous than you are anyway? Do you know somebody like that? Well, I've been up north, met up with my brother, and we went on a journey. We were going out somewhere, and he went past my old school. And while I was at that school, I was in, I think I've told you this before, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs at that school, okay? No, I was not dopey, all right? I was happy. I was happy. But in that production, playing the Wicked Witch
and playing Snow White were two girls who went on to be actresses. Now, when I say actresses, I think one was in, they were both in Coronation Street at one point, and one was in Goodnight Sweetheart with Nicholas Lyndhurst. Okay, so they were like 15 years later from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. There they are, seemingly, you know, on the big, not quite the big screen, but on a small screen. I wonder about these shepherds, you know, in the fields in Bethlehem. It's only 6 miles from Jerusalem. Were these sheep for sacrifice in the temple courts? Did these shepherds follow the progress of this baby the next 30 years? The Bible doesn't tell us anything of that, but it's hard to believe that that wouldn't have been the case, especially if the shepherds were of a younger age, and they probably would have been all sorts of ages. The younger ones would have been around when the good shepherd became the lamb sacrificed for the sins of the world. I'm sure what they saw stayed with them, even though abject poverty framed the masterpiece of God's plan. They'd seen angels, but all they could talk about was the baby. I don't know if you noticed that when you read it. They didn't go, "Whoa, we've just seen angels. Let's start up a cult worshipping angel." No, it was all about the baby, the Christ child, the King, the Messiah, the Lord that has been born. For angels are messengers, the Bible tells us. Their role is to point to Jesus. For angels cannot save, but only one. There's only one Saviour, Jesus Christ. And note this as well. They were given instructions to go to find the Christ. They were not given instructions to spread the news. That was the natural thing they did with great joy. And I mention that because sometimes, and we do it here, and we will be doing it in the new year, evangelism training. And it's good to, you know, to know what to say or have something to say to people about our faith. But actually, it should just be an overflow of our hearts. The joy we have of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ coming out in every way. It wasn't rule one, find the baby in Bethlehem. Rule two, go and tell 10 people. It wasn't that. They just went. And the fact that many perhaps would have thought, they're shepherds, they're unreliable, we can't listen to what they're... But it didn't stop them. They just carried on. We've got to tell you what we've seen and who he is and what he's come to do, what the angels have said. Because we've been looking at these shepherds. And as I just wind up this morning, we've talked about it a little bit along the way. And it's true, actually, over the whole of the Christmas story, that it is Jesus. It's all about him. And even when you look at the shepherds, as we are doing now, we can't help but see the good shepherd. If we'd have looked at the wise men, you can't help but look at the wisdom of God in Christ. You know, whatever the character in the nativity behind is something of Jesus. For he, the good shepherd, made a careful search to seek and save the lost. He came to rescue us. He, the good shepherd, takes care of his sheep. He's laid down his life for you and me. He's the great shepherd. He's the eternal shepherd. He takes care of it all for all time. So when we look upon his birth, let's not forget who he grew up to be and what he grew up to do. This Christmas, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's make that careful search. Let these names prompt your praise of Jesus. That precious gift. Let's open it personally for ourselves. Let's consider the sight and realize that he's there in a manger for you and for me. If he'd have been in a palace, the shepherds would never have got nowhere near him, would they? Let's think this through. Even if he'd have been born in a hotel, they'd probably been kicked out. The fact that he was in such a hovel of a place was just right for the shepherds. They didn't even have to clean themselves up to go in. They came as they were and met the King of Glory who'd come. Yes, to change us, to make us as we should be in relationship with God, but as we are, he takes us as we are. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. Are you following the signs? Can you see the sign clearly? Last month I was away overnight and in a place I didn't know very well. And I was looking for a sign for where I was staying. And you do, don't you? When you don't know the place, you have to look carefully. I mean, the rest of the year, I know where I'm going. You know, to turn left, turn right. You just do it. But when you don't know, you say, where's this sign? Where's this sign? You have to look really close. It was a murky evening as well. A bit like it's been recently, the fog hanging down. Whoa, is it left? Is it right? And then suddenly, big sign appeared. Oh, turn right. And there it was. I was in the right place. Finally, seen the sign. Well, note the sign and adjust your course as appropriate this Christmas, is my instruction to you. Let the encounter with Jesus change your life. For the shepherds return glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard. And you will do too when you find him and stay with him and then share and speak of him. We'll know the same experience, that joy that they knew that first Christmas. Amen. 345 is our hymn. We've got some good hymns to sing this evening. So apologies if you've not been happy with the selection this morning. But they've all been on the theme, of course, for this morning. But 345 is just one more upon that theme. Starting with the angels and that note about peace, the struggle to find peace in the world. And there in verse 3, seems a very appropriate verse for at the end of 2021. And those whose journeys now is hard, whose hope is burning low, who tread the rocky path of life with painful steps and slow. Oh, listen to the news of love which makes the heavens ring. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. Look again. Look again to our Lord. 345.
Oh,
A reminder, yes, Christmas Day, 10:30, we meet here. And the following day, it's Sunday, 10:30 as well. So we'll meet 11. All right, I'm coming at 10:30. So, 11. 10:30 and 11 at the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So, and of course, don't forget this evening if you can make it to that. For those who cannot, happy Christmas to you. And we'll greet each other at the end. Let me finish with a prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this very special time of year. Thank you for this time, a quieter time in the busyness, the rushing around. Again, we remind ourselves that it's, yes, a baby, family time. It's a baby wrapped in cloths. There are wrappings and trimmings and all that goes on. But it is you, the Lord of glory, laid in a manger. That's at the heart and center of it all. Be with us, Lord, in the build-up now to Christmas, in our celebrations. And keep our hearts close to you. And keep us, Lord, at peace with you and one another. We ask for your blessing, Lord, as we go our separate ways. Again, bring your healing touch on those in need and help at this time. We bless you and thank you. Watch over us, keep us. Thank you that you are that good shepherd who provides and protects in every way. So lead us on, good shepherd, and we will follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.